Hey y'all, it's me, Black Girl Abroad, and I'm here to tell you with all of the things going on in the world, it's kind of hard to stay abreast, especially living overseas. I mean, think about it, it's so much content whizzing around out there, but there's one storytelling platform that helps me to keep calm, stay informed, and most importantly, inspired, and that's Flipboard. Flipboard curates the world stories so that I can make smarter decisions when it comes to work, life, and play. I choose from thousands of topics to personalize my Flipboard, and I get the latest stories from the best publishers and experts delivered to me 24/7. That's right, y'all. I can choose from topics like world health, yoga, my personal favorite, celebrity gossip. Yes. When you see the stories, you can save them and you can tap on the button and it'll simply put them in a private or public collection. It's really that simple. Millions of people use Flipboard every day and they use this to help navigate through the world and navigate through their life. How can you get started? That's simple. Two ways. You can go to flipboards.com. Or you can download the app at Flipboard. I hope that you're staying informed, because in this world today, we need to. H-O-U-S-T-O-N. That's right, y'all. This episode of Black Girl Abroad, I am so excited for, because I'm dedicating it to my hometown, Houston, Texas. You know, the home of the chopped and screwed, the home of the scissor, the home of the 713-281-832-346, the home of Beyonce, and the home of Black Girl Abroad. Don't forget that. This episode, I have amazing women from the city who have left their mark, their stamp, their footprint in Kuwait. And they're going to talk about their experience here. They're going to talk about, should you come to Kuwait? Just pack up your stuff. Relocate, okay? We out here. We out here. As always, thank you so much for supporting Black Girl Abroad. You guys don't understand how in awe I am at just the amount of love I'm receiving. And it's amazing to me all the positive comments you're leaving, all the times that you are reposting what I'm doing, how you are sharing the podcast, you're sharing the YouTube channels, you're sharing the Instagram page, you're sharing the Twitter page. You are chiming in and letting me know what you think, and I appreciate it so much. You have no idea. Again, y'all, I'm faithful with my few, because I know when this tribe grows, I'm gonna know the day ones, the A1s, okay? So again, thank you so much for everything you're doing for Black Girl Abroad. It's truly, truly appreciated. Although I didn't know these women in Houston, Texas, but God has a divine way of bringing the right people together at the right time. And now I work very closely with both of these young women interviewed for this podcast today. So I hope that you enjoy. I hope that you gain some knowledge. And I hope that if this doesn't inspire you to move to Kuwait, it inspires you to get up and see the world. Hey y'all, and welcome back to Black Girl Abroad, the episode with all my Houston girls. And right now in the building, we have Sinead. She's going to give us a little background information on herself.
Hey y'all, I am Sinead Miller from Houston, Texas. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo, representing that Dirty Third.
Girl, Northside all day.
Third Ward. Check Yates.
Whatever. Scott, well, I ain't going to say what high school I went to, because, you know, then people be like, you ain't from Houston. But anyway. So, Sinead, I had the pleasure of meeting you when you first arrived. And the first thing someone said was, come meet the new English teacher. She's from Houston, too. I was like, yes, I got to meet her. And met her, been cool ever since, attached at the hip. Y'all, she don't go home, okay?
Oh, but come on.
But tell everybody, how did you get started in education and what made you want to move abroad?
Okay, so I originally was never, ever in my entire life going to be in education. Like, I fought it. Fought it for a long time. My major was communications. I was going to be in radio, TV, doing something behind scenes. But that clearly was not God's plan for me. So, I was literally crying in a closet. I was a manager at a store. And, excuse me. And I was applying for jobs. I was like, I'm going to go ahead and teach. My dad was a teacher. A lot of people in my family were educators. Okay. So
you really did fight it. You right, fought that teaching.
I fought it hard. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and apply for this alternative certification program. And because I was like, I want to move abroad and live overseas. And teaching is a good way to do that. So I was like, all right, so I did that, taught for the first year, was like, okay, cool, and applied to go abroad. Well, where I originally wanted to go, I needed at least like 3 or 4 years.
Girl, let me guess, UAE.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I already know.
They wanted 3 or 4 years in an ESL position teaching. And I was like, all right, we just done with year one. So I'm like, all right, so we're going to suffer through. So I went on ahead and I kept applying and I kept teaching, sorry. And I applied. I was going to apply. Well, I did apply for China and some other places, but I kind of wasn't feeling those offers when I got them. So I was like, no, I'm going to just go ahead and wait it out. I also had some friends that were like, well, what about the food? And you're not going to like it. It's a culture shock and this and that and the other. Like, y'all, when you move abroad or get ready to move abroad, like, you really have to be secure in that decision.
Right.
Because people, not necessarily being malicious, but because people don't know, they discourage the unknown.
Right.
So, right. I had a boyfriend that was like, well, I ain't guaranteed to be here when you get back. And I was like,
no, he didn't.
Right. And I was like, you know, I want to get married. So, you know, I don't want him to be gone when I get back. I was like, but you could come with me. And that way, we wasn't going with that either. So I was like, you know what? I don't care. What nobody say, whatever. So the next year, I taught. And I applied. And I applied in silence. Like, I made my moves in silence. And when it was time.
Like the G in lasagna.
Yep.
That's a little one would say.
So when it was time and I got accepted and all of this, I told everybody. I was like, all right, I'm moving to Kuwait. And my sister-in-law helped me.
I can only imagine. If your family was anything like my family, I can only imagine the response you had when you said, Kuwait.
Right. They're like, what? The Middle East? You're going to get kidnapped.
Right.
I'm like, man.
You a Christian going to Muslim? You going to do this? Do that?
Right. Yeah. Find you a church. I'm like, all right, y'all. So my sister-in-law was actually the one who got me to Kuwait because I was applying.
Shout out
for,
to sister-in-law.
What's up, Erica Tharp? Woo woo.
Okay.
Sister. So that's how I ended up at where I am right now.
And so in transitioning, like I tell a lot of my listeners, this was a very spiritual awakening journey. And I heard you mention how you have to be very secure in the decision to move abroad because it's not just something you wake up and say, you know what, I'm moving, I'm doing this. What was all the preparation you had to do to get to this point?
Well, the mental preparation was just becoming okay with leaving
what
I had in comfort.
Mm-hmm.
Because the States is home and it's comfortable, so to say. But, you know, I was leaving my family behind, my nieces, my nephews, my brothers and sisters and everybody,
missing,
you know,
out on holidays and birthdays. Right. And
my dad told me a long time ago, he was like, you know, you can be gone, but you always have to, you have to pick a holiday. You have to be here for Thanksgiving or Christmas. And I was like, all right. So I was like, all right, I'm not going to be able to do that. So how I'm going to work this out. But just like mentally preparing myself. And I told my parents and they were, you know, okay with it. And my dad passed away in May.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was really difficult for me because my brother's going to college in Mississippi. My sister lives in Seattle with her husband. And then I'm moving across the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she's by herself. So I was like, okay, like, do I really want to do this? Like, am I going to leave my mom? I'm like, here, is she going to be okay? And this and that and other. So I was like, you know what? I prepared for this. We going to be okay. Like, she going to be all right. And it was really hard. And, you know, I just had to make sure that her friends were going to be around. My friends were going to be around. And, you know, I have to give a real big shout out to my girl Tiffany at the AT&T store.
Okay.
Because she was like, girl, I'll go check on your mama.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet.
I was like, it's so sweet. Like, you know, I had never met strangers that, like, showed so much love. And there was the lady at the Toomey store that, like, we had a real long conversation, just real deep about me moving abroad. And I was like, wow. People that don't know me, don't know anything about me, are supporting me and encouraging me. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do this. And I was like, I'm going to make the best of every moment. Now, of course, you know, my sister-in-law was over here and my brother, he would come back and forth to visit. So he's like, oh, sis, you know, you got to stay over there. Don't come back. Like,
right.
We doing this. And I'm like, okay, but I'm going to be by myself. I ain't got no husband to come visit me.
And I'm going to be honest. I think your life kind of foreshadowed because how you say you met so many strangers that show so much
mm-hmm,
love.
Mm-hmm.
And moving here, I can honestly say, me and Sinead was just talking about this earlier. You know, we had our Zumba class. Shout out to me for, you know, the Zumba. But we have met so many people. And it's like, growing up in America, you know, you hear all this backlash of these different countries and people from certain areas and how they're one way. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and when I tell you, we have friends from every religious background, from every cultural background, from different right. places around the world. And they don't see color. They don't see a woman. They see you for who you are.
Yeah.
And so I think that was a foreshadowing for how your life is going to be now in the Middle East. What else can you tell, or what advice can you give to women of color who are saying, I want to move, I want to do something different with my life, and they're thinking about this option? What advice will you give them?
I would tell you, girl, live your best life.
Hey, I ain't going back and forth.
Right. If your boobs are real big and you need special bras, put them in a bag, grab you a toothbrush and toothpaste, change your underwear for a week, a long dress, a scarf, and a swimsuit, and go.
Yeah.
Like, don't let anything hold you back.
And like you said before, how you let, you know, the idea of a man hold you back, what would you say to those women who are like, well, he's not supportive? What would you say to them?
Leave him. Bye, boo. What's that? Yeah. What that boy say?
Boy,
I'm
bye.
Good. I'm good, love.
Oh,
enjoy.
Yeah. Future. I'm good, love. You enjoy. Okay.
Right.
And you know what's so crazy? What I would say to those women is, I don't feel like that's the man for you. And the reason being is because a man who's really in love with you and really care for your well-being, he will put your priorities above his own. And if he knows that this is something that you truly want to do, he's going to wait around. He's going to be that man, you know, that waits and says, okay, this is the love of my life. If this is going to make her dreams come true, I'm backing her up 100%.
Right.
Shout out to Booski, because right. that's him.
Come on, boo.
So
he's going to support you just like you support him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that's one thing that I really love about the network of people we've met out here. They've been very supportive. They've been very nurturing. Shout out to that girl, Christina. I think I shouted her out in another podcast. But let me tell you something. Christina just knows every... I mean, when I tell y'all, this girl is so knowledgeable on Kuwait. And you were sworn she has been here 20 years and not just two.
Right.
Okay? But the thing is, when you meet that, when your vibe attracts your tribe, and I say this all the time in my podcast, y'all, it's really not a gimmick for me. The power of positivity is real. And when you put that energy and that frequency out there, you meet like-minded individuals and those that don't mind hanging around you and being in your presence because you have such a positive spirit. Right. And so that's what I will say about Sine. Sine has such a positive energy, a positive spirit, a smile that lights up the room. Aww. And she is just really a genuine person. I know I make fun of her and I say that she get on my nerves, but honestly, she is a good person to have in your corner. She's great with her students. She got them all calling everybody Sugar. So I
just... That's right, Sugar.
She had them calling everybody Sugar, and I'm just looking like I'm not Sine. Don't call me that no more. You know? But at the end of the day, y'all, this journey has been amazing. What advice would you give to our Houstonians that say, oh, I don't know if I could leave Houston. I don't know what I... What advice would you give them to just say, not at least not living abroad, but just getting out and traveling? What would you tell them?
I would tell them that, you know, the world is so much bigger, but so much smaller than what you believe and what is right there in front of you. Mm-hmm. So, like, you really have to get out to experience other cultures. Like, Houston is so diverse, and it's so many people from so many places. Like, you really have to get out and go and experience those cultures. Like, eating Mexican food in Mexico, like, when that's the bomb. Like, eating Chinese food in Asia and China, and like going to Japan and experiencing all these different cultures and all these just humans.
They have to stop being afraid.
Yeah, like, and it's so much more than what we're told. Like,
right.
What we've been told is bull. Like, for
stay
real.
Away. Don't do it. Right. Stop.
No, danger. Like, it's not like that at all. Like, you really have to experience it for yourself.
You do. And like I tell women, Kuwait was not on my radar. Nope. I'll tell anybody that. I was with Sine. I applied to the UAE.
Mm-hmm.
And Kuwait was not on my radar, but I'm so grateful that God gives you what you need and not what you want.
Right.
Because in Kuwait, we're able to save.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have bills. You know, it's really a comforting, it's a comfortable environment. It really, really is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Sine, I want to thank you so much for taking the 15 minutes out your time to do this podcast segment with me.
Yay.
If you want to know more about Sine, and she's also vlogging and blogging and doing her travel journeys, tell them where they can find you.
You can find me on social media, on Instagram at Gnomes Goes Global 3, the number 3, NOMESGOESGLOBAL, and the number 3. On Instagram and Facebook. I am just Gnomes Goes Global. All right, y'all. It's been real.
All right. Till next time. And now we're back with Victoria McNair, the vice principal, and my fellow Houston native. Woo-woo. Say hey, girl.
Hey. What's going on, H-Town? As she stated, Victoria McNair. I came from Houston, Texas. However, I'm originally from Belzoni, Mississippi.
Ooh.
And I am the vice principal of the middle school here, Desmond Bilingual School in Kuwait City, Kuwait.
Awesome. And I had the pleasure of meeting Victoria when I first came. And she was just this ball of energy. And I was like, yay! I found my confidant, my girl that's here. Now, the only thing, y'all, she a Delta, so you know.
It's okay. You know, everybody needs a wonderful Delta in their lives. We are the backbone that makes them better.
Ooh, she tried
it. You see them on her podcast,
she
right?
She tried it.
You see them on the cast, right?
She tried it. Okay. But Victoria, all jokes aside, moving abroad, tell us about your experience and what got you interested in moving abroad.
Believe it or not, I have been winging life and motherhood for some time.
High five, girl.
I don't
high
really five, have yes. a plan with this life. I just live for the moment. I'm just,
you know, I'm like Lil Duval, you just smile and you live your best life whichever way you can.
Yeah.
But was tired of teaching in the States, was just burnt out, and my mom suggested, why don't you try teaching overseas?
Wow, your mom.
Yeah, believe it or not, who is an educator, has been one for over 40 years and very traditional. So for her to suggest for me to move overseas was a bit much. So I started looking, found a couple of websites, found a couple of things through the Department of Defense, and I decided to apply. And I applied as an English teacher and received a callback for the school here in Kuwait and a school in Dubai. And when I did the interview over Skype, I interviewed with the superintendent here, Desmond, as an English teacher. And got halfway through my interview, and she thought I was great, and she decided to offer me the position as the vice principal.
Look at God.
I know, right? I was like, Come on. This package just got a whole lot better.
That's what happens when you just go through life and just swing it, through the
whatever
motions.
Happens.
Yes.
So I accepted the position, and I came here 2 years ago, so this is my third year here, and it has been an amazing experience. Don't get me wrong. There are problems everywhere at every
Absolutely.
School. And we have our own set of problems. But just to be somewhere else that's a different culture, a different environment, a different set of kids with a different set of values, a different set of customs, it has been nice to kind of be away and be immersed in something totally different. And that's not a norm for me. So that part's been really cool. And it's also been cool being here with my daughter, who is 5 and she's grade 1. Because she is surrounded by people who are from different backgrounds.
Right.
So she has a greater sense of diversity than she will ever have going to school in the States. You know, it's 26 kids in her class, and some of them are Kuwaiti, some of them are Jordanian, some of them are Syrian,
wow.
some of them are Palestinian, some of them are Egyptian, some of them are South African, some are American. They're just from all over the world. She even had kids from her class from Europe, Germany, places like that. So she's in a very diverse background, which has definitely broadened her perspective of the world at this point. So it's been a great experience.
And so talking on the topic of you being a parent, what would you say to those women who are like, I'm scared to do this, I have a child and I don't want them to, you know, it's just the fear of traveling and moving with your child, the fear of not having that extended family and things like that. What would you say to those women?
I would say get up and do it. You know, if nothing else, this definitely teaches your child that there's nothing in this world to fear.
Right.
It should give your kids a greater sense of confidence about being able to look at the world and tackle it, no matter where it is. I'm a single mom, and my daughter's father is very involved in her life. He's a good dad. But, you know, the ultimate responsibility of her does follow me. And yes, he's in the States, and she video talks with him. She talks to him over Skype. She text message him. They have a good relationship, and she sees him when we're home in the summer. However, moving abroad didn't change motherhood for me.
Right.
If anything, it definitely made it a little bit better for me, because I have to realize now that I can let her see the world, and I can give her those things that I couldn't give her, or that things that weren't given to me. But now I get to show her the world. So it's a difference between me giving it to her and showing it to her. We're close to everything, so we get to travel a lot. Her perception of the world is very different. When I say that, as in most 5-year-olds want to go to Disneyland
right.
or Disney World, or they're happy going to Six Flags. Because she is exposed now, you know, she's like, I want to go to Egypt.
Ooh.
I want to go to Australia. I want to go to Paris.
And that's a great thing that she knows
that these
places.
Things exist.
Right. She knows
and
that.
If we had been in the States, we would not have been able to. She wouldn't have been exposed to that information. But truth of the matter is, I wouldn't be able to afford
right.
for her to come over to visit these places.
Right.
So, yes, it's been rough. But being in Kuwait, especially, Kuwait is a very family-oriented country.
Mm-hmm.
So you see tons of families. You see tons of families out with their children playing in the malls and the restaurants. Kids are out everywhere.
Every night.
Yeah, every night.
Every night to 11, 12, 1. I'm like, why are you out?
Yes. I know. And so it's easy to get here and formulate those friendships and find your village.
So being here these 3 years, I have my principal who is very supportive. I have Nisreen who has triplets, so we're always with them.
Wow.
I have Rima who has a set of twins, so we do things with them. The other Nisreen has two boys. My friend Melena from last year, she has two kids. So you'll find people here who have kids, and these women become, you know, your village. You can count on them if you need somebody to babysit, if you need someone to take the kids, or you doing, you know, sleepovers, birthday parties. You know, Robbie had her first birthday party here last year, and it was like 16 kids there.
Wow.
And all of them weren't from her class. They were from kids that she does have in class, but kids that we socialize with outside of class. So there are tons of things for her to do, and I don't, even though I'm here by myself and she's my responsibility, I don't feel like I am alone, because I have formed that village, and it's easy to do here. Once you're here, you find people, you meet them, you start to like them, you get to know them better, and you realize that this becomes your mini family. This is your extended family to an extent while you're here.
And also, I love the fact that your mom travels with you. So kind of tell us a little bit about that. What made your mom, one, comfortable with recommending this to you? Because I know my mom was, oh my God, you going to what, you know. So what made your mom so liberal to bring this to your attention? But also, what made her want to come and travel with you? And she doesn't just come for like a week. You know, she stays and helps out, which I think is phenomenal. So what would be your answer with that?
I think that because she is in education, she kind of knew I was burned out, and she gets it. Mm-hmm. I was not expecting her to stay to come overseas to do it, because earlier on in my 20s, I dated a guy who played professional basketball and baseball. And when he stopped playing professional baseball, he started playing basketball internationally.
Mm-hmm.
And he was living in the Middle East, and he lived in Egypt, Qatar, a couple of other places. And I really wanted to move to be with him and to live in one of these countries. But of course, knowing my parents and from the South and being a black mama,
yes,
and
child,
me not having a job, yes, and not child, married to this man, I knew my mom was not going for that.
The fact that you said the South.
Right.
The South. So, get all that other stuff. The South. Okay.
So I knew my mama was not going for me moving to a whole nother country with a man that I'm not married to, without a job, anything to fall back on, where she didn't know anyone. So I never brought it up ever again.
Right.
So to hear her say, well, try overseas, I was shocked. So I was like, let me jump on it now, because if my mama changes her mind, I'm gonna be mad.
Right.
So I jumped on it quickly. Now my sister was excited. She's older than I am, but my brother, who is also older, was not. He like broke down crying. He was just, no, this is a bad idea. He was mad at my mom for suggesting it. He was just all like over the place, because this just wasn't for him. But my mom's like, well, I'm going with her. So she came, and I think after she was here the first week and she saw how safe things were, she got to meet people and be around everybody and visit around Kuwait, she was totally comfortable with me being here. And so now she comes back every year at the beginning of the year with me to help me with Robbie, and also so she can travel. And I think that her coming and her validating the fact that it's safe and I'm fine and it's perfectly okay for me being here kind of helped bring some ease to the other members of our family. And now other people are like, okay, cool, we know somebody who's done it, we know somebody whose mama say it's okay to do it, so now they're ready to try.
Right.
So that's been good.
Right.
But having her here has been perfect. And I think now that she's been here, she's been kind of bit by the travel bug. So she's like, okay, so where are we going next? What are we doing next? Like, Joyce, I can't pay for you to come go to all this stuff now. So she has definitely...
Not you and the daughter.
Right. I turn into being a mama too now. Like, where did this come from? But so she has definitely enjoyed being here. And now that she's been here, my other family members are starting to come over. So my siblings came over. We met in Spain 2 years ago for spring break. Right. Yes. We all did Paris earlier this year. My nieces have been over to go to the UAE, visit Abu Dhabi.
Okay, now you're just showing out.
So, like, it has forced them, my family, to, you know, get out more. Because we travel, but we always did it in the States. So we went to the islands. But this has forced them to see other
really
parts
see
of
the
world, to really see it, that, you know, it's nothing else out there to fear. So it's been good having them, but definitely having my mom here has been a blessing.
And I think that's the added benefit of it. You know, people start to see, I know her, she did that, and okay, how can I get down to, how can I do it?
Right.
What would be your suggestion to anyone saying, I'm on the fence, I'm ready to make that leap, how do I go about doing it? So what would you tell them?
I would say research. Do your research. If you're on the fence about it, do the research on the country that you want to go to. Read as much information about the country that you can possibly read. And one of the other things that you definitely have to take into consideration is that the information and everything that we get in the United States about other countries,
ooh, child,
is not the truth. It's not the truth. So our perception of other parts of the world are based on what media and outlets show us. Right. I would agree. Fake news at this point, what other outlets show us, and it's limited. You would not believe how well respected or how well treated you are when you attend other countries, especially as an American.
As a black woman,
but
too.
As a black woman, yes. And being black, like,
That in itself
changes, you know. Yeah. I can go into a luxury store here and no one follows me. I can go into a luxury store here and people start pulling out the red carpet for us to try things. Because to them, they don't see the color of your skin. They don't think you're anything else other than someone who is there to purchase their product.
Right.
So being able to do that is definitely. But definitely do your research. Ask questions. Think of all the questions you can ask from, you know, your living accommodations, your travel accommodations, spending, what is the currency value like, asking about where you, even to getting your hair done, ask those questions when you are reaching out to someone who does live abroad, ask them everything you can think of, but do your research, figure out where you want to go and see if it's for you. And I'll tell teachers, this is my third year here, but I tell teachers, you come for 1 year, if it's not for you, go to another country.
Right.
And if that country's not for you, you go to another country. Figure out where you are. Find your tribe wherever you are. But just don't give up. Just don't go back home being defeated and thinking you can't do this, because you really can.
And then going back home feeling like, well, it didn't work out for me. Oh, well, and then you're bad talking it when it's, you didn't really get your feet wet.
Right, you didn't get your feet wet. And that's one thing, you know, even if you don't stay at this school, if you come to, let's say, Kuwait and you get in one school, you don't like that school, try another school in Kuwait. Just don't leave the experience without giving it 100%, without giving all of it. You know, even if you don't like Kuwait, move to another country. We have teachers who left Kuwait, moved to the UAE. We have teachers who moved to Qatar, moved to Bahrain or Oman, or they went to somewhere in Europe. That's fine. Just don't leave this experience on the table, because once you go back, it's hard to get back over here. It's hard to get back to this experience. And it's not going to be the same, especially if you've done it once and then now it's 5 years later. It's not going to be the same type of experience for you. But definitely do your research. Figure out where you want to be, what you can live with, what you can't live without. And it's different. Like, I don't have a dryer in my house. You know, in America, we have a washing machine and dryer. And my mom was like, oh, my God, you don't have a dryer. Ask them if we can buy a dryer. I was like, no, Mom, because that's not part of the experience of living in the Middle East. I have to hang my clothes like everybody else does if I'm going to take advantage of this full experience. You know, so it's things like that you want to ask about where you're going to live.
Or the fact that the stove is little and it's a gas stove. And I wasn't used to that. So I was like, wait, what am I doing here? So, but like you said, it's a part of the experience. And actually, after cooking with a gas stove now, I'm like, I like this better because your food cooks faster.
Your food cooks faster. It's evenly done. And we moved from one apartment to another apartment earlier this year. And I didn't take the gas tank. And so I was like, well, they didn't bring us a gas tank for the new apartment. Right. And the housing person, she was just like, you didn't bring your other one. Like, how am I supposed to know I'm supposed to take the gas tank? I thought the gas tank came with the apartment. Right. So I left the gas tank. She was like, no, it's your tank. Ma'am, I've never owned a gas tank
I've never owned a gas anything except for a car. That's right. And we can't take those tanks with us.
So, you know, it's part of those things that you learn about being abroad, that experience.
And I will say this, everyone, Victoria is the absolute gem of this middle school department. I love my principal, but let me tell you, it's nothing like having two women in administration that get it. And especially when one of those women look like you, okay, hair textures like yours, like, it just makes a big difference. And like you said, how you hear her talking so calmly and just self-sure, that's how she is every single day. And it really is a beacon of inspiration and a point of light to look forward to every day. And I'm like, yes, thank you, Lord. And then for somebody to have your back, because I don't know about educators in the States, but you know, it's hard for an administrator to have your back. So the fact that you actually have backing, you know, that you actually have someone the kids respect and like, but know when she's being authoritative with them, it's absolutely amazing to witness. And Victoria, I know you say you call yourself the antisocial one, but
I am.
Do you have any way that people can contact you if they want more information?
I am antisocial. However, I love helping people. So that I wouldn't say that falls in the antisocial part. Now, one, I might help you get here. And once you get here, I might stop by your classroom. But we might not hang out. But I might stop by your office or your classroom. I don't know. It's just old age. Y'all, I'm old.
Whatever.
I'm older than she is.
Whatever.
So, you know, don't take my antisocialism for anything other than the fact that I'm just old. I don't know. I'm supposed to give social media.
If you have it.
Okay, I have Instagram. I have Facebook, but it's just too many buttons, too many notifications, too many pictures, too much scrolling.
Too many reactions.
Too many comments. It's a lot going on. How do y'all use it? Jesus. I don't get it.
And y'all, as we're talking, she's going to her Instagram app to know the name.
Because I don't know my
screen.
That's
how much she does not use this stuff, okay?
That's so sad. But my Instagram is divine_decree1913. And that's divine, DEVINE underscore DECREE 1913. So definitely on Instagram, you can hit me up. I'll tell you what Facebook is, but don't expect no response. Don't expect a response.
She got all these notifications, y'all.
It's just Victoria McNair on Facebook. Don't expect a response. In 24 hours, 24 days is more like it. But I'm on there though, and you can ask questions. My friends might respond and tell you what the answer is.
Right.
But yeah.
But as y'all can hear, we are definitely at work. We snuck off to do this little podcast. But I want to thank you so much, Victoria, for being featured on Black Girl Abroad. And we signing out.
Thank you, guys. It was nice to talk to you. She's great, by the way. I'm happy she's doing this podcast. My best friend suggested that I do this, but because of my antisocial ways, I was like, girl, I don't have nothing to say to nobody.
And she been talking for 18 minutes. So she got stuff to say. Bye, y'all.
Bye.